hearing testimonies, and I could just enjoy a whole service of nothing but testimonies of how God is working in lives, and God is working in lives here, and it's a blessing to be a part of this body. I just want to put in a plug. I don't even think I have to put in a plug for the Christmas packages for the missionary kids. We were in Croatia for 11 years, and every year our kids were just excited when the Christmas packages came from Reston Bible Church. And they knew that it wasn't going to be a chewed-up pencil or, as somebody told me, a stick of gum, but they were getting some things that that were on their wish list. And it was just a blessing and a highlight and a joy. And a joy for Donna and I to see my kids being ministered to through this body. And actually, I think last week, Jesse, my son, said to Donna, "Hey, can we grab one of those names? And absolutely we can bless as we've been blessed." And so I told Donna this morning, I think those names will disappear. So when you get here at 9 o'clock, make sure you go grab one so we at least have one name. Ed shared our mission statement, and I remember the first time that Ed told me the statement, and I was excited when I heard the statement. And the first reason was it was just one sentence long. I said, I can get my hands on one sentence. But in truth, it's a great mission statement. And beyond that, it's a great mission that just encompasses the Lord's heart for us here at Reston. It encompasses His heart for shepherd groups and just what He wants to accomplish among our body. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time that we can gather and say that You are our God. We belong to You, and we are so blessed and privileged to be called by Your name. Thank You for the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank You for Your great, great love for us. Open our eyes and hearts to what You would have us hear from You this morning. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. My name is Tony Pedroni, and I am the Shepherd Group Pastor here at Reston Bible Church, and we arrived here 6 months ago, as most of you know, and we spent 11 years in Croatia, in Europe, and then we arrived here about 6 months ago, and I just want to share a little bit of our experience with this body since we arrived, and actually it started even before we arrived 6 months ago, but from day one, You have encouraged us and ministered to us in so many, many ways. And I would say that the verse comes to my mind, and it says this: God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above what I ask or even think. And I never thought that I would see this outpouring of God's love through you in the way that I did. And through you, God has met our physical needs. Through you, God has ministered to me and my family, has encouraged us, has cared for us. You have invited our kids to be a part of this body, and have even gone out of your way to make sure that my kids get an invite. Maybe the first 6 months here, I don't think I can hang out in the hallway in between services and talk to somebody without somebody saying, "How you doing, Tony? How's your family doing? How's the transition going? How are your kids doing?" And it's just been we have felt loved, welcomed, wanted, needed, We felt a part of this body. And you know what that does is, and I'd say the greatest thing that what you have accomplished by ministering to us is this, that you have glorified God. And one way in which you've glorified God is you've driven me to my knees and said, where I have looked to my God and said, Lord, you are amazing. You are faithful. You take care of us. Your love is amazing, and it is a joy to belong to you and to belong in your family. And I have this thought, and I know that part of this outpouring that my family has experienced, I know that it is because partly due to that I'm on staff here and that I have some visibility, and every now and then I get to stand up here. And this thought comes to my mind. What if everybody who walks through this door had the same experience that I've had from this body? You know, and I sit here and say, and literally, what if everybody who comes and attends Reston Bible Church, and I mean everybody, felt loved, cared for, wanted, felt part of a family, the family of God here? Could you imagine what that would look like? Could you imagine if everybody was ministered to and part of this body like we have been? Just how God would be glorified and the things that we would see Him do here. And I guarantee you it would be exceedingly abundantly above what we ask or even think. And I stand here and I say, well, why not? Why not? Why not everybody who walks through this door, why not have the same experience that my family has? Why not here and why not now? And you know, there is no valid reason why that cannot be the case. And it will be true one day when God's children, we are in glory with Him. One day it will happen where we are all blessed, cared for, ministered to, an intimate part of the body of Christ, vital, glorifying God together. That will be the case one day in glory. But why not here? And why not now? And there's no reason. And you know, some people may think, Tony, you're living in dreamland. That's some piece of pie in the sky that doesn't exist here on this side of the earth. And I would say this, that this is not some pie in the sky that does not exist. But it truly is what God wants to do here in our midst. And not only what He wants to do, but what He can accomplish. And actually, it's what He has already accomplished. And He's left us a record of this pie in the sky being realized in His church. And I want us to take a look at that this morning. Open your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Now this is the first church that God created. This is the first church that God brought into existence in Acts chapter 2, Peter, this is on the day of Pentecost, 50 days after the Passover, 50 days after Jesus had been crucified, he's rose from the dead, he's in the heavenlies with the Lord. Peter stands up and on the day of Pentecost, many people are coming to Jerusalem. Peter stands up, he preaches the gospel, the Holy Spirit moves. In one day, 3,000 people accept the Lord, are saved, and God has created the first New Testament church. 3,000 people, a little bigger than what, little in number-wise, as to what we are here at Reston Bible Church. There's 3,000 people. God has just created the first New Testament church. And in Acts chapter 2, we get a description of what life was about in this church. And look, let's start in verse 41, and I'm going to read to the end. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. So then, those who had received his word were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. I want to take a look at, just go through this briefly, verse by verse. And let's look at the life, the description of the life of this church that God created here on this side of eternity. And this is what I'm going to say to you. This is pie in the sky realized. This is not a dreamland. This is what God is capable of doing. Now let's go verse by verse. So then, those who had received his word were baptized. You have 3,000 believers who hear God's word, trust what God is saying, and are walking with him, walking in obedience, and taking the step of obedience and being baptized. And one of the first things God tells us as believers is to be baptized, to identify publicly that I am now a new creature in Christ, that I have been born again, and I identify that the Lord is my Savior and I belong to him. And 3,000 people were walking in obedience and being baptized. A few months ago, just on a side note, I went to my first baptism service here at Reston Bible. And if you've never been to a baptism service, go. It was back then it was Sunday afternoon. Go. You will be blessed. There were, I think, 6 or 7 people who stood up and shared how God had saved them and granted them new life, and now they belong to him, and they shared their testimony and then took the step of obedience and were baptized. And it was just such a blessing. As I said, I could sit and listen to testimonies of God, what he does all day long, and I would encourage you to go. You will be blessed. Here, the first church that God creates is walking in obedience. They're receiving God's word and following God and taking the step of baptism. Verse 42. They were continually devoting, and the word devote, what does that mean, devote? Actually, the word means steadfast, to be steadfast. If you tell me, Tony, I want you to devote yourself to romancing your wife for the next 3 months. I probably should do that for the rest of my marriage, but Tony, I want you to, if you say, Tony, I want you to devote yourself to romancing your wife for the next 3 months. Or Tony, I want you to devote yourself to spending quality time with your kids over this next month. Or if I say to my son, Jesse, I want you to devote yourself to training for cross country. And what does that word devote mean? That's make it a priority. Be committed. It takes effort. Make it a priority in my life, Tony, to be romancing my wife for the next 3 months. Make it a priority. Be committed. Make that effort, Tony, to spend time with my kids over the next month. The early church, in verse 42, they were not one day a week, but they were continually devoting. They were continually making it a priority, committed to what? To the apostles' teaching, to the Word of God, and not just hearing the Word of God, but hearing the Word of God and walking and applying the Word of God to their lives and walking in obedience. And they were continually making that a priority, continually committed to the apostles' teaching, to the Word of God, continually devoted, and continually devoted to fellowship, to spending time with the family of God, with the brothers and sisters in Christ. And the word fellowship has a sense of sharing what you have in common. They were continually spending time with each other and relating to what they have in common. And then, what else were they devoted to? And probably the Greek, probably this defines the word fellowship in the Greek, but breaking of bread and to prayer. And the word breaking of bread probably means having their meals together, and it may include the Lord's Supper, but probably, definitely the meals, having their meals together. And that very well may define fellowship, but it doesn't matter. Here is what they were continually committed to and made an effort, and it was a priority in their life. The Word of God, not only hearing the Word of God, but walking in obedience, applying God's Word to my life. They were committed to spending time with the brothers and sisters, the family of God, relating to what they have in common, which included being committed to having their meals together, being committed to praying together. Verse 43, and everyone kept feeling a sense of awe. Many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. The word awe, another word, is fear or respect of God. Everyone, all the believers and probably some of non-believers who were around kept feeling a sense of awe, fear, or respect for God. And many wonders and signs were wrought through the apostles. You know what? What do we have, 2,000 people here? If 2,000 of us have as a priority or committed to God's Word, to walking with Him, applying God's Word, to commit it to each other, I guarantee you we're going to see many miraculous things that God does in and through us. Verse 44, and all those who believed were together and had all things in common. And again, there's the same word in common and fellowship, same family of words, sharing what they have in common, relating to one another the things that they had in common. They were together. And a week ago, Donna and I visited Pete Connolly's shepherd group. And that was our first time at his shepherd group. And we had sweet, sweet fellowship. We were relating to what we had in common. Some of us shared stresses in our life. Others of us shared about our uncertain future. What's going to happen in a week? What's going to happen with our lives? And there was uncertainty. Almost all of us shared about our kids and our concern for our kids and their walk with the Lord. And we were relating to what we had in common. And what we really had in common, which we related to, was our God is sovereign. And He can handle all of that. And all of these concerns and uncertainties. Our God is sovereign. And He's faithful. And we've got a God that loves us. And we experienced sweet, sweet fellowship. Verse 45. They began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. Now let me just say this real quick. This is not saying that the early church, this first Christian church, sold everything that they owned and put it into a pot. That's not what this verse is saying. Maybe some of them did that. Nowhere does God command that. Nowhere did He command that. But in truth, everything we do own is God's, belongs to Him, and it's His to do what He wants to do with it. And what were they doing with what God had given them? Taking that and meeting the needs of those who were in need. You know what? That's the same thing that happened with me and my family when we walked through this door on day one. From day one, this body took what God had given them and belonged to Him and belongs to Him and met our needs. That's what this first church was doing. Verse 46, day by day, they're continuing with one mind in the temple. Unity among the family of God. One mind, day by day, in the temple, worshiping God. Just as we are doing right now. And breaking bread, having their meals together, which may include partaking of the Lord's Supper. Having their meals, breaking bread from house to house. They were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart. There, what they were doing was worshiping the Lord with one mind in the temple, just like we're doing today, and meeting in house to house, shepherd groups. Small groups of believers meeting in house to house, having their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart. The joy of the Lord, with gladness, spending time with one another, developing relationships, with sincerity of heart. No pretense, none of this keeping at the surface level and putting on a mask and saying everything's okay with me and we are just doing fine. But sincerity of heart, relating to one another, their lives, their heart. And where did that take place? From house to house, or if I could say this, in shepherd groups. And verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. Here's a description of pie in the sky realized. Everyone, not just the one who gets to stand up here periodically, but everyone devoted, committed to God, committed to His Word, committed to God's people, committed to the brothers and sisters in the body. We're committed to, what's our mission? To know Christ, to know Him, to make Him known through the Word of God and authentic, real Christian community. They were living out our mission statement. That's what God accomplished. And who? Look at verse 43. Who are we talking about? Everyone. Everyone in verse 43. And in verse 44, and all those who believed. Not some, but all those who believed. In verse 45, and they were sharing them with all as anyone who might have need. Everybody who walked through the door was a vital part of the body of Christ. We're committed to God, committed to each other, and nobody was being neglected. Who would not want to be a part of this body? Healthy shepherd groups are a vital role in pie in the sky being realized. It was a healthy shepherd groups, house groups, were vital for the early church. And they're vital for us today. You know what? A shepherd group here at Reston Bible Church, it's a small group of us meeting regularly in houses. 6, 10, 15 of us, whatever, meeting regularly to develop relationships, to get to know one another. For what reason? So that we can encourage each other in our walk with God, build one another up, minister to one another, love one another, care for one another, pray for one another. How are you doing? What's the Lord been doing in your life? Share that with me. What have you been reading lately? What areas are you struggling in? Me too. Let's pray for one. Where we're building one another up so we all grow in unity, in oneness, into the precious image of Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage you to consider joining a shepherd group. But before I do that, before I encourage you, and it's already too late, hopefully I've encouraged you, but before I encourage you to join a shepherd group, to try out a shepherd group, I'm going to tell you some reasons why you can't. Okay, I'm going to tell you some reasons why you, that here's some reasons that are going to surface as to why you can't. And I'm just going to share a few of these reasons. And I also want to share with you what will be for you the greatest response to these reasons that will surface. And you know what? These reasons, they've been around. It's not new to this culture, not new to Reston Bible Church. They've been around since man has been around. Turn, if you would, back two books to Luke. Go back to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. This is a story we're going to look at. This is Peter, the Apostle Peter. This is early on. He had just met Jesus. Hadn't been walking with Jesus early on in his relationship with Jesus Christ. Peter is the expert fisherman. He's been out all night fishing. Hasn't caught squat. Nothing to show for all night of fishing. He comes in to shore. He is packing it up. They've washed their nets. They're packing it up, ready to go home, and Jesus comes on the scene. He hops in Peter's boat, and he starts teaching the multitudes, and then he says, "Hey, Peter, let's head on out into the water, catch some fish." Let's read in Luke chapter 5, verse 4. When he, Jesus, had finished speaking, he said to Simon, who was Peter, "Peter, put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered and said, "Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing." Now let me share with you some things that will surface as to why you cannot join a shepherd group. "Lord, I've been working hard all night. Lord, you know I'm putting in 10, 12-hour days. And you wives are putting in 20-hour days. You mothers, I should say. I've been working hard all day long." I guarantee for a lot of us, that is one thing that's going to surface. "I've been working hard all day long. I come home and you're telling me you want me to come home, drop my briefcase, grab a quick bite and head back out to be a part of a shepherd group? I'm tired. I've been working hard all night long. Man, I just cleaned my nets. This day is finished. I need some downtime. I need some R&R for my own well-being." That's one thing that will surface for some of us. Here's another thing that will surface as to why I cannot be involved in a shepherd group. "Lord, I've been working hard all night long, and I haven't caught nothing. We got zip to show for it. Lord, the fish aren't biting. It's useless. It's a waste of time to head back out into the deep. And by the way, I'm the expert fisherman. You're talking to Peter. I know about fish. And the best time they bite is at nighttime. And they're not biting at night. There's nothing there for me, Lord. And maybe I've tried that. Maybe I've tried a shepherd group. And maybe there was nothing there. Lord, I've been there. I've done that. There's nothing there for me. It's useless. It's a waste of my time." That's another thought that will surface for some of us. There'll be other thoughts that surface. Why I cannot? I've got family commitments. I don't know one person here who does not have family commitments. I know Peter was married. I know Peter had his family commitments. Number of things will surface as to why I can't join a shepherd group, why I can't try one out. Here's Peter's response, and this is what I'd say. Here's the best response that I can make. "Master," in verse 5, "we worked hard all night and caught nothing, but I will do as you say and let down the nets." Even though I've been putting 12 hours in every day, even though I've been there, done that, tried that, and there's nothing there, even though, but I will do as you say. You know what? That response, that doesn't apply to fishing, just to fishing. It doesn't apply to shepherd groups, just to shepherd groups. Man, that response applies to every area of my life. There's not one area in my life that comes to mind where that response is not the best response I can ever make. even though my wife and I aren't seeing eye to eye, even though this relationship is not what I bargained for, but I will do as you say, Lord. You know what happens when we respond? Where I sit here and I say, I trust you, Lord. I trust you. I trust you and I'm going to do what you say. And you know what happens when that is my life style? When that is the way I live? This is what happens. The same thing that happened with Peter. God blesses obedience. He blesses us who walk with Him by faith and obedience. And what happens with Peter? He goes out in verse 6. When they had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish. Their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat for them to come and help them. And they came and filled both of the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." You know, God blesses obedience. Guaranteed. Now, I'm not saying that I go fish and I'm going to get a quantity of fish. I'm not preaching a gospel of prosperity in the sense of getting the $1 million in my pocket. But what I am saying is God blesses obedience. And He may bring in a quantity of fish. But I'll tell you what. The greatest blessing with Peter is the greatest blessing that you and I will have as we walk with God. Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. And as we walk with the Lord, we will get our relationship with Him will become closer and closer and closer. And I will see how sinful of a man I am. And I will see more clearly how holy and loving and righteous and caring is my God. You know, when I first became a believer, I could list those sins. Man, I know what I got to deal with. My cussing and the party in life and the this and that. Those were, I'll say, easy things to deal with. And as we walk with the Lord, I saw how sinful and sinful, and even today, the sin that is deep in my heart, things that nobody else sees but God. And at times I see it. Pride and anger and jealousy and things in this heart that are wicked. And I see that I'm a sinful man. And my God, how holy you are. And you love me. You died for me. You care for me. And the appreciation of the gospel of God becomes more and more real in my life. And that, I would say, is the greatest blessing that Peter experienced and will be the greatest blessing that we experience when I say, I will do as you say, Lord. God will just draw us into a closer relationship with Him. I was reading some scripture a week or two ago, and one verse jumped out at me, and I thought, boy, that's a powerful verse. And I thought, that's a verse I could live by, we could live by. I thought, if this Bible were to be destroyed, and all the Word of God was to disappear except one verse, this could be considered one of those verses that would get me through life. Not just get me through life, but keep me on track. And it was a verse, it was a story. Turn, if you would, to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. This is when the transfiguration. Peter, James, and John are on the mountain with Jesus. And Jesus is transfigured right before them. He is changed, and Peter, James, and John witness, see his Jesus being transformed and into a glorious, and they in a glorious body, and his clothes, his white clothes are just shining, and they see the glory of the Lord, and he's transformed before him. All of a sudden, Moses and Elijah appear, and the three of them, Moses, Elijah, and Jesus, they're having a conversation, and Peter is witnessing this, and then all of a sudden, a cloud comes over, and they hear the voice of God the Father. God the Father says one sentence. And this is what the Father says in verse 35 of Luke chapter 9. Then a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my Son, my chosen one. Listen to him." I thought, see, I'm fairly simple-minded. And that would be a verse that would get me through life in a way that, if I lived by that verse, it would get me through life in a way that I never could on my own. This is my Son. Listen to him. Pretty simple verse. Listen to him. God wants to accomplish his mission for us here at Reston Bible Church. And we can see and realize God bringing pie in the sky to this body. It's his desire. It's what he wants to accomplish. It's what he has done in the past, where everyone who walks through this door, who belongs to our precious God, is a vital part of this body, ministered to, cared for, and not just some of us, but everyone. And where we together are growing, devoted to our God, devoted, committed to each other, and our walk with the Lord. And shepherd groups play a critical role in that. And in your bulletin, you have an insert. It says shepherd groups on it. And I would encourage you to try out a shepherd group for four weeks. Try it out and see what God does. If you're not in a shepherd group, try it out. And let me encourage you as well, and maybe some of you right now are thinking, but I encourage you, as these reasons why you can't surface. I got a full schedule, I'm tired, there's no hope, there's no sense, there's no value in it for me. As they surface, to respond like Peter did, "But I'll do as you say, Lord." Or heed the Father's words, "This is my Son, listen to him." So I want to encourage you in that way. And if you're sitting here and you don't know the Lord, you've never trusted him as your Lord and your Savior, and you're not a child of God, we've been talking a lot about a relationship with children of God. But I want to say this to you. Your need is to have a relationship with God before you can ever consider having this kind of relationship with God's children. And I want to say this to you as well, that God loves you and He desires to have an intimate relationship with you. And Scripture says that you are a sinner, that we have all sinned, we fall short of the glory of God, and that our sin has separated us from God. And because of my sin, the wages of my sin is death, separation from God, which can last for eternity, and which will last for eternity unless you do one thing. Scripture also says that God loves you, He loves me, and He showed how much He loved us, and that He sent His Son, the Holy One, who knew no sin, to be sin on my behalf, to pay for my sin, my penalty on the cross. And that He did. And the Lord has taken care of the sin which separates me from Him. And God says this: whoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're sitting here and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are still dead in your sins and will remain like that for eternity. Only one way that you can have your sins forgiven and have a relationship with God restored. And that way is not by coming to church. That way is not by joining a shepherd group. That way is not by doing anything that you are capable of doing. The only way is for you to put your trust in Jesus Christ, to acknowledge that you are a sinner and you need a Savior. Lord, I know I'm a sinner, and I know You died for me. I ask You to be my Lord. I give You my life. I confess You as my Lord, my Master, my Savior. Save me, cleanse me, give me life. And God will do that. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you're sitting here and you've never called upon the name of the Lord, that's your condition. And God invites you to become one of His children, to belong to His family, to have your sins forgiven, and to have eternity, to spend eternity now and forever in a right relationship with Him. And that's your choice. And you can do that in the quietness of your heart. Cry out to the Lord and ask Him to save you. And I leave you with this. I have an email address on the Reston Bible Church website. You can find that if you want to talk more about having a relationship with God. Drop me an email. I would love to go out to breakfast with you and we'll talk. Okay, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for this time that we can gather. Thank You that You are the Almighty God. Holy, holy, holy. Worthy of all praise, honor, glory. Thank You for saving us. Father, I pray as a body, as we move forward, Lord, that You would realize the mission that You put before us, that we would see You bring this to fruition. And Father, I pray as some of us will be challenged for reasons why we cannot be devoted to shepherd groups, to the body, that You would speak to our hearts and lead us in the right way. And Father, for anyone here who does not know You, may this be their day of salvation. May they call upon You. Might You save them. Bless our remainder of the day. Be glorified. We love You. We give you praise in Christ's name. Amen.